We begin the current daf Masechtas Beis daf Lamed. We begin on the bottom of Chavtes Mabeis, three lines up in the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with the next parak, the fourth parak of Masechtas Beis, parak HaMevi. Now this parak continues along the theme of the previous parak, which was discussing Ubdin Nechayel, doing things that are weekdayish, mundane, not Yom Tevdik. Those things are forbidden to be done on Yom Tev. And our Mishnah continues with similar halachas. HaMevi Kadi Yain Mimakam Mimakam. So the Mishnah begins by saying that someone that's bringing pitchers from one place to another place, where either it's in the Tchum of Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you let it go within their boundaries, or through an Eruv, which then allows one to go in different areas. So Lo Yeviyim Bisal Bekupa. So although one is allowed to bring pitchers, you need pitchers to use for the Yom Tov meal, one should not bring it with a basket or with a box. In other words, to put three or four in a box and then carry it, because again, that looks like what's called Maisachah. It looks like a weekday, mundane type of activity, as long as like you're schlepping packages. That's not Yom Tov Dik. That's called Uvdin Nechal. That's forbidden. Avol, maybe who else safer, but if he wants, he could bring it on his shoulder, one or two at a time, because that's obvious that why you bring it is for Yom Tov purposes. You need one for the meal. But to schlep a box of three or four, that looks like a weekday, and that's forbidden. So you could either do it on your shoulder, or in front of you, you could hold it in your hands. As the Mishnah says, similarly regarding someone who's transporting straw where he wants to use it as fuel or he wants to give it to for his animals to eat, he shouldn't then throw over the bag behind his shoulder, which again is disgraceful for Yom Tov because it looks like you're going to do a lot of work or you're going to really be schlepping it for a far away as you do it during the weekday, so you don't go ahead and throw the bag over your shoulder. Rather, you carry it in your hand. Again, more appropriate, more proper conduct for Yom Tov, not in a weekday, mundane type of way. Now, the Mishnah continues, one is allowed to initially begin, now that we spoke about transporting Tevin, so we continue on top of Lamed Aleph, Barimasa Tevin. The person could start with a new stack of straw and use that straw for fuel on Yom Tov, even though it wasn't prepared from before Yom Tov that he wants to use it for fuel, and even though he's not accustomed to using it for fuel. Now, which, as Rashi points out, this part of the Mishnah sounds like that we are not concerned for muktzah, although generally we can say that this might be muktzah because it wasn't set aside specially for fuel, and generally it's kept for animals and for purposes of leaving it for longer times, not to be used it now. Still, it's permitted to start off a fresh stack on Yom Tov. Avoloi be'etzim sheba muktzah. However, one cannot begin to use the firewood, to use the wood that's in the muktzah. Now, muktzah is actually a place that was behind the houses. It was their backyard, was called Muktzah. The reason is because that was the place where people generally didn't go and they would store things there for a long time because people didn't come in and out from there. That's where they would put this wood there. Now, again, anything that really they didn't use for a long time, they would put in this Muktzah. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, it seems that this second sentence contradicts the first sentence because here it sounds like that we are concerned for Muktzah, that something that was not designated, like these things that they're kept there for a long time, you cannot begin on Yom Tov because it wasn't prepared as Muktzah, and yet the sentence before sounds like we're not concerned for Muktzah, and even though this was a pile of straw, which is only kept also for a long period of time, you could begin on Yom Tov. The Gemara will address that contradiction. First, the Gemara explains that Tanu, we learned the Braisa, although we said all these different things a person should do in the Mishnah to change it from a weekday type of activity, although you need it for Yom Tov, it shouldn't have that Uvdin Nechal type of look. But on that, the Braisa says, "Im Iyaf Shlashanis, if it's not possible to change in the way that it's normally done during the weekday, for example, if let's say you have a lot of guests that came and you have to bring a lot at one time, you can't continuously go schlepping one, two, and then go back one, two, then Mutter, actually the Braisa says, then is going to be permitted. Again, because of Simchas Yom Tov, we're going to allow the person to do it in the regular type of a way. Now, related to this, that we want to deviate from how it's done during the weekday. We don't want Shabbos and Yom Tov to be the same as the weekday. We want to show that difference. And that's what gives the Kedusha and the covet for Yom Tov. So, related to that, asking Rava b'Mechuzah. Rava instituted in Mechuzah that all these different changes, we don't want to be doing things the same as it's done during the weekday. So, therefore, the Daru b'Dochka, that those things which generally during the week a person would carry on his shoulder, which require a lot of effort from the person, if a person is going to carry those items on Yom Tov for a Yom Tov purpose, for example, a barrel or a sack that's full with produce, then he instituted that lidra baragla, that it should be carried with a pitchfork if he's going to carry it on Yom Tov, which that's generally things which are those who would transport salt to sell, they would use these pitchforks. Now, the reason is, as we said, as our Mishnah had said, because we want to change, it should be different than it's done during the weekday. Now, however, but what he had instituted was that when we're going to change, we want to change it to make it something that's going to make his load lighter, not to add tircha. Tircha is something that's forbidden to be done unnecessarily in Yom Tov. So once we're changing, we want to make it easier, and it's easier to carry items in a pitchfork than it is to carry the load on one's shoulder. So therefore, that's changing it to the easier way. The Dor Baragla, those things that during the weekday are normally transported with a pitchfork, with, let's say it's a large barrel, where that's how it's normally transported, then he instituted Lidra Baragra. So then once you carry it on Yom Tov with two people, by holding it on poles on their shoulders, which is also a transportation that's easier load to carry when you're having two people do it. So therefore we should change it that way. Now, the Dor Baragra, those things that are even larger, which generally that is how people carry it during the weekday, on their shoulders, so then Lidra, then on Yom Tov, they should carry that package, the Achva, on the poles that are in their hands. Now, although this is not making it lighter and easier, but again, we want to make somewhat of a deviation, a change. So since it's a change and it's not adding any more tircha by the change, it's not easier than the shoulder, but since it's a change, it's not making it more harder, so we're going to do it that way to do it in one's hands. Now, the Dor Ba'achva, however, those things that even during the weekday they carry it in their hands, so we have no other deviation to do. We can't do anything less than that because it's too heavy. So that Rava had instituted Nifritz Sudra Ilave, that we should cover it over with a curtain, with a blanket, which it's something that's very light. It's not going to make the load any heavier. And although it's not going to make it lighter, but it's still a deviation, it's a change, and it's going to be concealing the item that you're carrying. So that's enough of a change, again, because we want to do it differently on Yom Tov than it's done during the weekday. It shouldn't have this weekday type of appearance. But then the Gemara concludes, V'im le'yefshir, he said that if it's not possible to change, because let's say it doesn't even have a curtain, it doesn't have a blanket to even cover it with, then shari then is permitted the way it's normally done. The amamar, as we said before in the brisa, imiyef shlishan is mutter. If it's not possible to change, then it's going to be mutter because of what we needed for Yom Tov that allows it. But again, if we could change, we want it to change. Now, amalei Rav Chanan bar Rav Rav Ashi says, Amar Rabbanan, as we were discussing that the Rabbanan said, kama de'ef shlishnu, as much as it's possible to change, then Mishanina b'yamitava. So we want to change on Yom Tov. We don't want it to be the same as done during the weekday. As we said in our Mishnah, there's Rav Institute in Mechoza. So he asked, but Vahani Nashi de Komalian Chatzvayu Mayi b'yamitava. But you have these women that fill up their pitchers, they draw water from the rivers on Yom Tov. B'loikum Mishaninan, they don't change the way they normally draw the water and carry their loads on Yom Tov. And v'loyimin luhu v'loyimidi, but yet nobody tells them anything. Why? If the halacha is, as we said, that you want to change then the way it's normally done during the weekday, why don't we tell these women to change what they do? So Malaysia, he responded to me, he says, you're right, but Mishum Deliafshir, it's not possible to do any change of how they normally do during the weekday that won't cause a different problem on Yom Tov. Because, hey, Chilavi, what should we do? If you're going to say, Demalya B'chatz Barabba, the women that usually use large jugs, large barrels, that Tamli B'chatz B'zuta, then now on Yom Tov they should change and do it with smaller barrels. But if so, Kamav Shabilucha. We're making them go on more trips to go get the amount that they need. Because, and therefore, we don't want to add more tircha on Yom Tov, so we can't do that. Demalya b'chatz b'zut, if you're going to say regarding those that generally fill up with smaller barrels, that Demalya b'chatz rabbi, they should go ahead and fill up with larger receptacles. But kamav shemase, we're making them go ahead and now carry heavy loads. That's also more of a tircha that we don't want to impose upon them on Yom Tov. So you can't do a change of size. Tachasi b'nachtim, if you're going to say that they should cover it with a cover made out of wood, that's a lid that's used for these types of jugs or for these barrels, but we can't do that either as a change because zimna denafel vaslatuya, sometimes the cover is going to fall off as they're walking and then they're going to come to carry it, which is forbidden to carry it. So that's going to be a problem. Now, if you're going to say tiktere, that they should tie it on, that it shouldn't fall when they're walking, now although that it's permitted to go ahead and carry what they need for the eichel nefesh, but for other things like the lid not lado, so you want to say you want to tie it on beforehand, but that's also problematic. Because zimna de mifsik, sometimes it could happen that when they're walking, it's going to fall off, it's going to come untied, vasla mikdre, and then they're going to come to tie it on, a real good knot, so that it stays on, doesn't fall off, and that's an amaloch of kosher, which is not permitted. And if you're going to say tifra sudri leve, that, okay, fine. So you can't do change the sizes. You can't go ahead and just cover it. It might fall off. It might come to carry it. You can't tie it on because then it might get untied. You might tie it. That's kaisha. But tifra sudri leve, what do you mean? Just at least cover it with a blanket, with a kerchief, And that should be enough of a difference that we're showing that's not the same as during the weekday. That's also problematic. Zimnin demitmish b'maya, sometimes it can get soaked in the water. Vasle eschita, it's going to maybe get from the water that's in the barrel that they're filling up. It's going to get soaked. And vasle eschita, they're going to come to squeeze it out because it's too wet. And that's going to be a different problem of malacha, of malabin, of laundering it. So therefore, Hilchah Le'avsha says, you're right. So therefore, it's because it's not possible. You're right, we usually want to change. But as we said, if it's not possible, then we could do it the way it's normally done during the weekday. A similar type of discussion. Amli Rava Bar Avchan La'bay. He says, Tanan, we learned the Mishnah that's brought later on that says, Ein metafchin. We're not allowed to clap one hand with the other hand. And that's because either they're doing it for song or because they're doing it because of mourning, that they're clapping their hands. Ve'im esapkin, neither are we allowed to slap the hand, the palm of the hand on one's thigh. Ve'im eraktin, and also we're not allowed to dance with one's feet. Now all these things are forbidden to be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of an isadra banan. It's a gzer, it's a decree that maybe we're going to come to fix the musical instruments that they use to dance with and to sing with, that they're clapping, so that we can't use any type of, make any beat with our feet or with our hands, and because of that gzer that we might come to fix the instruments, which is going to be a malacha deraisa. Now, although we say in that Mishnah later on that that's forbidden, but yet we see people that do this. We see people dancing, and we see people that are clapping on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And yet we don't tell them anything. Why? So Amalei said to him, and according to your reasoning, that you're asking how if there's a halacha, and there's an iser, and we know there's a chiv to give techacha, to give musr, to be moicha, that people are doing an iser. Now, why are we not saying anything? But Hadam Rava says, I'll ask you back. This that Rava says, Loi Lesev in the Shapuma de Lachia, that he said that a person is not allowed to sit by the entryway of a lechi. Now, a lechi is a side post that's put by the opening of a mavi, of an alleyway that opens up into the Rishus Rabim, which that's one of the halachas that pertinent that allows us to carry in the mavi, that to differentiate between the mavi and the Rishus Rabim. So we know it's not the same as the Rishus Rabim, and that's why we can carry in there, and that they had already joined with Shatufim Avais. So Rava had said that one should not sit right by the opening of the lechi, because Dilma Magandru Lechefitz, maybe the person will have an object that will roll out into the street, into the Rishus HaRabim, where it's beyond the lechi. Now, not noticing, because they're sitting right there, V'aslatui, they're going to come to carry, because they can't tell, there's no like kaira, which is a different sign of using by Mavi, which is a crossbeam, that you could tell. But the lechi, they're not noticing that that's Rishus HaRabim, this is Rishus HaYachin, and the person's going to come to carry it, and therefore he says, you're not allowed to sit right there. Because you're really right by the line, and you're going to come to be over on the iser of carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Yet v'hohani noshi, yet there are these women, the shakon chatzvai, they bring their pitchers, v'azam yosevin apuma demavoy, and they go and sit on them, right by the entry of the mavi, of the alleyway, v'loy munil emidi, yet nobody tells them anything, in spite of the fact that they're violating this isadra banan of Rava, who said not to sit there, and yet they do sit there. So you're asking on the mission later on, but what's with, I'll show you another halacha that's the same predicament. So Ella, rather, if you want to understand this, is Hanach Lem Yisrael, is that truthfully, we leave the Jewish people to go by what they're used to doing, which they're not going to change anyway. The Mutav Shiyah Shoygin Val Yimazin, let them better be, which is called doing an Aver B'Shoygin, which is inadvertently, they're not noticing they're doing something wrong, better than them doing it, B'mazed willfully, because if you notify them, they're still not going to stop, because this is the things that they do. And therefore, that's why no one tells them to change what they do. People will continue to clap and be over on that iser, and people will continue to sit by the mavoi and continue to be over on that iser. So rather not tell them, let them be a lower level iser of shagig, then tell them and let them be over in the iser b'mezit. So then V'hochinami says, same thing is over here by metafchen, by you're asking me why does no one protest that the people clap and dance on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, Hanach Lam L'Yisrael, better leave the Jewish people, Mutav Shiyah Shoygin Val Yimazidin, let them be doing it inadvertently than being doing it willfully. Now, on that the Gemara qualifies, V'hanamili, when did we say this of Hanach Lam L'Yisrael, to leave them and let them better be shoygi than mezid? It's only b'drabban, only when it comes to a rabbinic violation, where they were already got used to doing this isadra banan, like the case of where they clap and where they slap and that they dance, and also the other one of Rava where they sit by the entryway of the mavi, by the lechi, abderaisulai. But on that the Gemara says, but when it comes to a biblical commandment, then we don't make any considerations like that. No, we have to tell them. I don't care if they're going to continue doing it. You have to tell them, this is a biblical violation. You can't do this. Now, although now they're going to be amazed, fine, that's their own fault. But we have to then go ahead and protest. Now that the Gemara says actually below here, that's not actually the case. Loishna b'dei raisa, it doesn't make a difference if it's a biblical violation. Loishna b'rabban, doesn't make a difference if it's a rabbinic violation. Loyamrinun lehu b'lo midi. We do not tell people that we know they're not going to listen anyway, and better let them be shagig than being mazed. And how do we know that? The tesis of Yom Kippurim, because regarding the halacha of adding on to the day of the 10th of Tishrei of Yom Kippurim, where you have to begin your fasting when it's still part of the 9th of Tishrei, part of the day, where deiraisu, that's a biblical halacha, as the Gemara Masech, this human, Daf Pe'al from Beis, learns it from the pasuk v'nisim es nafshei seichem betisha, with that in the pasuk, the way it's brought together, it sounds like they should be fasting on the 9th of Tishrei, which we know that's not the case, it's only on the 10th, and that the Gemara there learns that actually part of the 9th should be fasting, where you start the fast a little bit part of the day of the 9th. Yet v'achli v'shasu ad shachashechi, yet we do see people that eat and drink up until it gets dark, up until the 10th starts, and they do not begin their fast earlier in the day on the 9th. We see that no one says anything to them, obviously because they wouldn't listen anyway. They would continue eating all the way to the fast because they don't recognize this, they don't appreciate this, Isra Dairaisa, and therefore, Mutiv Shia Shagim, like Mazidin, applies not only to Rabbanon, but even to Isuri Dairaisa. Nothing more continues explaining our Mishnah that in the second half it spoke about beginning things that are a little bit out of mind on Yom Tov, which we said, we are allowed to begin utilizing a stack of straw, even though it wasn't prepared from before Yom Tov. Now, that the Gemara wants to explain, as we had already pointed out, this contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Amar Rav Kahane says, Zaysemeres, if one analyzes this halacha, what you see is maschilim ba'itzat tchila, that one could begin something that is stored away initially on Yom Tov, where although it was, let's say, muktzeh, was stored away for the Eitzer, which means to say for a large storage purposes for a long period of time, like in this case, which is generally this Arema of Tevin, is stored away for animal uses at later times, still you're allowed to go ahead and utilize it on Yom Tov, and it's not going to be considered a problem of muktzeh. So who is that? Must be Reb Shimon. He must be the town of our Mishnah, Reb Shimon. The Leslie muktzeh, he doesn't have the broad application of muktzeh, a very narrow application. Therefore, these things are not considered muktzeh, and that's why you could use it. Now that the Gemara asks, Ema Seifa, but look at the next sentence. It says in our Mishnah, V'lei be'etzem shebet muktzeh. The Mishnah concluded by saying, however, one cannot go ahead and use the wood that's in this muktzeh, again, which is the area, the backyard that they had, which where they would store things for a long time. Now that the Gemara says, Asan l'Rebbe Yehuda, that sounds like Rebbe Yehuda, the Islei muktzeh, that he does say that things that are not prepared and designated for Yom Tov, which they're going to be generally for a later period in time, that they are muktzeh. Now that seems to contradict. Is our Mishnah like Rebbe Shimon, like the first sentence sounds like, or is it like a Yehuda? So the Gemara says that actually Hacha here in the Sefer, actually our Mishnah is Reb Shimon, but the end that says that one cannot use the wood from the muktzah from the backyard is talking about Ba'arzi by cedars va'ashuche, which is a female version of the cedars. Askina, that's what we're talking about. Where there a person does not enter his mind to use that at all, because those types of woods are precious type of wood where people generally use it for building. Where that type of wood, the muktzeh machmas chisar and kiz, that's considered separated, not designated for usage because of the loss of money, since they're very expensive, this wood. And therefore, if a fellow Reb Shimon might, even Reb Shimon would agree that that would be considered muktzeh. That would be within his narrow framework of muktzeh, that this is something that's very precious, a loss of money. Of course, no one's going to use it for firewood, let's say, on Yom Tov. And therefore, one, even if he decides on Yom Tov he wants to use it, no, that for sure is out of mind, even according to Reb Shimon, because it's so precious, and that's why our Mishnah could be like Reb Shimon. Now, Igad Masnala, those that learn the statement of Kahana, a second version, actually, it's going on a Seifa. He was going on, the first version has him commenting on the first statement, which sounds like Reb Shimon, and then he goes that our Mishnah, he makes an assumption based on that, and therefore our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, and then he has to resolve the second statement. Now, those that say he's going on the second statement, which sounds like Reb Yehuda, and that is on the Seifa that says, Avaloi be'etzim Shebet Muktzeh, however, one cannot begin to use the wood, cannot go ahead and take that wood, Shebet Muktzeh, that's in the backyard. Now, on that is Amr Rav Kuna. That's what Rav Kuna says, Zoysemer. So that, from that you could infer that Ein Maschilin Bo'etzat Chila, that you cannot go ahead and start using something that was stored away, that's generally for a later period of time, and use it on Yom Tov. So that, the Deek was Hamani, who's the town of Amishna? Rabbi Yehuda, he must be like Rabbi Yehuda, the Isli Muktzeh, that he does hold of this broad-based application of Muktzeh, where anything that really is not really on your radar is going to be considered Muktzeh V'Yom Tov. Now that, the question is, Eimer Reisha, but look at the first part of that statement. says Maschilim by Remes Atev, and we could begin using a stack of straw in Yom Tov. Asan Reb Shimon that comes like Reb Shimon. Delesli Mukta, who doesn't hold of this broad application of Mukta, where even though I'm not really thinking about using it, but it's not totally out of the question, like something that's Mukta of Machmas Chasar and Kiss, where forget about it, no one's going to use it, and therefore it's contradictory in our Mishnah. Is it like Reb Yehuda, is it like Reb Shimon? So that the Gemara answers, like the second version is saying, that no, the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda. So how do we understand the case of the Arimis HaTevin that you could begin using on Yom Tov? Because Hasam B'Tiv Nesariah, there it's talking about straw that's rotten and spoiled, where it's not fit to be used for animals to be able to eat them at a later point in time, which is generally what these Arimis HaTevin are for, which is why a person is not thinking about using on Yom Tov. And therefore, it is generic for firewood and not for consumption. And therefore, that's not the same case as the Eitzer, which is generally Mukta according to Yehuda, and that's why it's going to be Mutter. But that the Gemara asks, wait a second, Tiv Nesariah, spoiled straw, Hachazlatina, it's still fit to be used for cement to be able to make bricks out of them. So again, it's still out of mind of using it for Yom Tov, and according to Yehuda, it should be Mukta, because you're going to use it for building. But the Gemara says, no, he actually can't even use it for building either. And that's why it's going to be considered prepared for using it as fuel whenever you want to use it, because it has no other utility. The Isbe Kaitzim, there's actually thorns in them too. Therefore, you can't go ahead and knead it to create it into cement to make bricks out of them, because it's going to prick one's feet and one's hands. And therefore, again, even according to Yehuda, it would be considered muchen for Yom Tov, because although generally Arimis HaTevin is not considered, because you're leaving it for a later period for your animals, here where you can't use it for animals, you can't use it for building, and therefore, of course, it's even prepared, according to Yehuda, to be able to use it as fuel on Yom Tov. Then we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, about using wood on Yom Tov. Now this talks about a specific case. The Mishnah says, Ein Neidlin Eitzer Min HaSukkah. A person cannot take wood from a sukkah. Now we don't mean just generally as sukkah is for the Yom Tov sukkahs. The sukkah literally means a hut. For example, on Pesach or on Shavuos, if someone's sitting in a hut in his garden or in his orchard, where then we say, you know, I'll take the wood from the actual hut itself. You can only take the wood that's near the hut. Now, the Gemara initially assumes that what that means is if let's say the roof is thick, where you put a lot of reeds, then you could take some of them, as long as you don't take away the whole roof. Now, the Gemara will ask, but that's the malacha of seiser, of demolishing a tent, because although you're not taking apart the whole tent, there's still going to be a roof. But since it's batel, it becomes part of the roof. So then any little bit that you take off is demolishing part of the building. It doesn't have to mean the whole ceiling comes over the whole building. Even if it's just a layer, it's still a layer that you're demolishing. And therefore, that should be forbidden. But the Gemara will address that. As the Gemara asks now, now, what is the reason why you said that if you want to use wood on Yom Tov, you can't take it from the hut itself? The kasasar ala, because you're demolishing oil, which is a forbidden malacha to do on Yom Tov. But then even what's near it, meaning that's on it, is also demolishing because it's also another layer of the hut. So why there is it permitted? So in that Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, he says, my samach, what does it mean when we said it's near the hut? It means samach lidfanis. It means near the walls. What we meant was that if you have reeds standing upright surrounding the walls, now since it wasn't interwoven with the walls, it doesn't become bottle or part of the walls themselves. Because it's not similar to the assumption we had in the Gemara's question that it was close to the schach, to the roof of the hut, where there even the roof is not woven together. It's just piles of reeds on top, where that's where it's standing. Therefore, everything would be considered equal, whether it's the main layer or the layer on top. So that would be considered batel, and that would be seiser. But the Gemara's answering is that the walls have to be interlocked together, have to be interwoven. Now, anything that's not interwoven is just standing right next to it, that we don't view as part of the walls, and therefore that's not considered seiser if one were to take those reeds to use for wood on Yom Tov. That's one approach. Nashi Amar, he says, so we could even say, no, it's not even talking about that it's near the walls. Rather, it's actually near the roof. And the question becomes, so why isn't it seiser? So now he says, Ki Tanya, when did our Mishnah talk about that you're allowed to take it min hasamachla from even the roof? Hahi be'isur yasa. That's toma by bundles of reeds, where you put the bundles on top of the schach, on top of the roof. Now, from the fact that you didn't untie those bundles, it doesn't become bottle to the schach. And rather, obviously, we're just putting it there to conceal it, where that's many times they would store things on top of their roofs, including the roof of the hut. Therefore, if it was unbundled, so then, yes, anything becomes part of the roof. But the roof is not bundled together, it's just a bunch of reeds. This is bundled together, obviously it's not bottled to the schach, it's just storing it there, and that's why you could take it from there. If it's samachla, on Yom Tov. Now, in clarification of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings another opinion that argues on our Mishnah. Tanya learned the Braisa. Pchibar Yosef kamed Rabbi Yechanan. Pchibar Yosef had learned the Braisa in front of Rabbi Yechanan that said as follows. Ein noitin eitzim in asukkah. Again, as the Tanya Kaman, our Mishnah says, and I'll take wood from the hut itself. Ela min asamachala, only from what's near it. As we explained before, two different approaches. Rabbi Shimon Mata. Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted even to take from the roof itself. The Gemara shortly will ask, but that seems to be Saiser, which is a forbidden malach of demolishing on Yom Tov of a tent. Now then the Braisa continues and says, B'shavin, however, they both agree, B'sukkas achag b'chag shasura, that if it's a hut of the Yom Tov of Sukkis, up until now we're talking about different Yom Tov from Pesach and Shavuos, if it's the Sukkah of the Yom Tov of Sukkis, then it's forbidden even on Cholosh Shel Mayid to go ahead and take the wood from the Sukkah itself, as the Gemara will later explain why would it be forbidden. There's no malach of Saiser that's forbidden to do on Cholosh Shel Mayid. That it's everyone would agree, however, that the hut of Sukkis is going to be forbidden to take apart. Now, however, in Hisnola, however, if they made a condition before Yom Tov that I want to go ahead and take the wood from the hut itself, then Akolafitznai, then everything goes according to his conditions, and then he would be permitted to take even the wood from the hut itself on Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara first asks that we had the opinion in our Mishnah, which was the Tanna Kamma this price, and then said Reb Shimon Matar. Reb Shimon says it's permitted to take even from the wood of the hut itself. So the Gemara has a book of Sasser Allah, but he's demolishing the tent. Saiser is a malacha that's forbidden to be done in Yom Tov. So Reb Nachama Yitzchak, he says, Hacha b'sukkah nefelasuskin. Actually, here we're talking about a sukkah that has fallen. Now, since it fell on Yom Tov, so there's no problem if you're going to use the wood of stir of demolishing, because it demolished by itself. Now, the reason that the Tanna Kamma says that it's Asr is because of Muktzah, that because it was set aside, since by the period of twilight of Bein HaShemashes, it was still standing, and therefore it's what's called Muktzah Machmas Isr, it's set aside, meaning you doesn't have Yom Tov utility because of the prohibition, which is called Muktzah Machmas Isr, the prohibition of demolishing, so therefore that is the time period that qualifies it for the whole Yom Tov, that it's Muktzah, even if there's no more stira that already fell down. However, the Tanna Kamma held what's near it is not Muktzah, as we said, because that wouldn't have the problem of stira, either because it's by the walls or because it's on bundles on the top. However, Reb Shimon that says that it is permitted if it falls down where there's no Masaiser, and Reb Shimon Latameh, Reb Shimon goes according to his opinion that's mentioned throughout Shas, the Lesley Muktzah, where he doesn't have the broad-based application of Muktzah, and even though Bein HaShemashes twilight, it was Muktzah Machmas Iser, where there was a prohibition of demolishing it, he's not concerned with that. They sound like Lena Braisa. The leftover oil that's in the cup that holds the candle, or in the plate where they have the oil that's there to light the candles for Shabbos, and then it got extinguished sometime over Shabbos, that leftover, the Tanna Kamma holds that that's Muktzah, and therefore Asr. That's going to be forbidden. Reb Shimon Matar, Reb Shimon says, no, it's permitted. So even though by Bein HaShemashes there was Isra of Muktzah on this candle, because there's an Isra of Kibui, of extinguishing it, so everyone would agree you wouldn't be able to extinguish it, so that should be Muktzah Machmas Isser. Shimon holds, no, it's Mutter, because even though then it was Muktzah, but when it goes through Shabbos or Yom Tov at any point in time when that goes out, so there's no more Isser, now you can go ahead and use the oil, therefore that's the same thing that's applying over here in this price, so he holds you can use the wood of the hut itself. If it falls down, there's no more Isser, so then you can use it. There's no Isser of Muktzah. Now that the Gemara asks, and this comparison that the Gemara is bringing to explain Reb Shimon's opinion, that just like we see that by the case of the Nair, that when it goes out, you can use the oil, so to over here, when the wood falls down, there's no Masai, so you can use the wood. The Gemara says, Midami, is it really the same? Hasam Adam Yeshiva Mitzapa. There the person sitting and waiting by the candle that was lit on Friday afternoon before it gets dark. He's waiting, when will the candle go out and be extinguished? Because he knows it's going to go out at some point. And therefore, even by twilight, the reason why the Muktzah of twilight, which is generally the designator for the whole Yom Tov, does not designate as Muktzah, because he's even then having it prepared, thinking, okay, I can't wait till it goes out, that I could use the leftover oil for whatever I want to use it for. That's why Reb Shimon there would hold that it's not Muktzah. But Hach over here, by the case of the fallen Sukkah that you're trying to explain, Reb Shimon holds not Muktzah because of that when it falls down, there's no more Isser. But Adam Yesha Metzapa Mosai Tipul Sukkasi is a person sitting and waiting, oh, when is my Sukkah going to fall down? That you think he's a prophet? He knows it's going to fall down tomorrow to say, oh, okay, you know, when it falls down, then I'm going to be able to use the wood for whatever I needed to. He's not thinking and hoping and waiting the Sukkah is going to fall down. Who should assume that it's going to fall down? And therefore, what's the comparison? There, it's not Muktzah, because even by Bein HaShemashes, he has at least was thinking about it. So even though then it was Muktzah that you couldn't move it because of the problems of Halacha, but here, it's different because you're not even having thoughts about it. And that the Gemara says, no, actually, Amar of Nechma Yitzchak, Hacha, here also you're thinking about it, about the sukkah that ultimately falls down, because b'sukkah ru'uyaskin. We're talking about a shaky sukkah, where he's thinking that, oh, I think at one point in Yom Tov it's going to fall down, and tomorrow it actually falls down, and that's why he could use it. That's why according to Reb Shimon, there's no problem of muktzah, because demi et mol daiti levei. We say that even yesterday, he was already thinking about it, and since at least he was thinking about it, Reb Shimon does not hold that to be muktzah, and therefore you can use just like the oil from the leftover of the candle, so too the wood from the sukkah that fell down. But according to Hanukkah, they do not say that his thought is on it. Regarding anything that you can't use a Ben Hashmashes, so it's out of mind by the person because he sees Ben Hashmashes can't use it. So even though during Shabbos or Yom Tov, that Isser will not be there anymore, they hold that Ben Hashmashes Muktzah will go out and manifest throughout the whole Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's their machlikis regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, can you use the wood from the sukkah that fell on Yom Tov itself? Now in that brice we quoted, that B'Shavan, however, they both agree, B'Sukkos HaChag B'Chag She'asur, regarding the sukkah of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, on that type of hut, that it would be forbidden to take the wood from the sukkah itself. But the Braisa concluded, but if you made a condition about it before Yom Tov, saying, look, I want to use the wood from this sukkah, then everyone agree, based on your condition holds true in Halacha, and then you could use the wood from the sukkah. Now that the Gemara asks, Mahani Batnai, is it really true that a condition helps that you should be able to use the wood from the sukkah itself on sukkahs? But Vamrav Sheshin Mishra Rebbe Kiva, Minayin La'atzi Sukkah Shasur in Kol Sheva, where do we know that the wood of the sukkah is forbidden all 7 days of sukkahs? Shnema, like it says a pasuk miYikra. It says, Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yom LaHashem. It says the Yom Tov of Sukkahs will be 7 days for Hashem, which sounds like that all 7 days, it should be for Hashem, which means to say that we'll have this Kedusha and the sanctity for all 7 days. So you see one source that's showing that it has Kedusha all 7 days, and you cannot use it for yourself. V'tanya, and similarly we learn the Braisa, Pidman B'Seir Aibma, he says, Minayin, from where do we know? Shekashem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al-Chagiga. Just like there's the name of God that rests upon the Kedusha, on the carbon chagiga, the shalmei chagiga that's brought on every Yom Tov, that it becomes forbidden from the moment it becomes kaddish, the kalchal shem shemaim al sukkah, that so too the sanctity of the shem shemaim rests itself on the wood of the sukkah, thereby making it usher for the 7 days when it's a sukkah. Tamalayma, so that's what the pasuk teaches you. Chag ha-sukkah shivas yom la-Hashem. The Yom Tov of sukkahs will be 7 days for Hashem, which we learn chag. And sukkahs, that is machag l'Hashem, just like the carbon chagiga, which is the term of chag, is for Hashem, as we said, that has a kedusha. Af sukkah l'Hashem, so too the sukkah is for Hashem, and therefore it's also forbidden for the 7 days of sukkahs. Now, therefore, we see sources that it is forbidden for all 7 days. It has intrinsic kedusha. So how could we say if you make a condition beforehand, oh, that then you can go ahead and use it, if it has kedusha, and no matter what condition you make, it's going to be usher for all 7 days of sukkahs. So Amram Menashe B'Ridi Rava, he says, you're right. Seifa, the end of the Bryce that says, Vim hisnola, that if you make a condition, that it's old according to the condition, Ason l'sukkah de'alma. That's going on a sukkah of other Yom Tovim, which is going back on the beginning of the Bryce. It's not a continuation of the sentence before, which was told about the sukkah of sukkahs, where Evan agrees that it's usser. Rather, it's going back on the first case, where the Tanakam and Rav Shimon are arguing about, regarding if you're allowed to take the wood from the sukkah itself, which we had already explained, that's talking about when the sukkah falls down, and then there the consideration is if it's muktzah or not. And that is what the Braisa concludes, but if you made a condition before Yom Tov, where that if it falls tomorrow, that then I'm going to use it for firewood, then everyone would agree it's according to your condition, because the whole reason why it becomes muktzah is because you're not thinking about it. But if you verbalize and you already think about it from before Yom Tov, saying I'm going to want to use it, there everyone would agree it would be based on your conditioning. Of a sukkah the mitzvah, but you're right. The sukkah of the mitzvah of sukkahs, lo yimahani batinah, there no condition would help because there has intrinsic kedusha for all 7 days of sukkahs, like the shalmei chagiga has kedusha. But now the Gemara asked, the sukkah the mitzvah loy, now based on the resolution that we gave, is it really true that the Yom Tov of sukkahs, which is a mitzvah itself, that there a condition would not help to say that I don't want it to have that kedusha for all 7 days? I want to be able to use the wood of the sukkah on the Yom Tov, that doesn't help? But V'tanu L'Yin Nabraisa says, Sichcha Kil Chasa, if someone did the halacha of Schach appropriately for the sukkah, and V'itra, and he decorated nicely, B'kramim, with these colored garments, U'bisadinin, and with these spreads of linen, Hamtziyarn, that are embroidered, V'talaba Agaizim, and he hung up nuts, Shkeidim, almonds, Afraskim, peaches, Remainim, pomegranates, U'parchila Anavim, and these clusters of grapes, Yenish, Manav, V'siltais, wine, oil, and flour, which are in these glass type of jugs, which are for noyi sukkah, as they're called. These are decorations for sukkah. The itri shibalim, and these wreaths of grain. Also, l'stapik mehen ad matzah yom tov achar shachag. So one is forbidden to have any pleasure to use these things till the end of the last day of the yom tov sukkahs. They become usher to use. The mihisna lehem, however, if he made a condition about these noyi sukkah, the decorations of the sukkah before the yom tov sukkahs, then akol lefi tanoi, then everything goes according to his conditioning, then he would be able to use it on the yom tov sukkahs. Now, from the fact that the Braisa told us that it's usher l'stabik mehen, that you're not allowed to use these items over the entire 7 days of sukkahs, so obviously it becomes part of the sukkah. And therefore, it has the same halachic status as a sukkah, because or else what would be usher about it? It's only the sukkah that we say is usher. Yeah, and therefore, here when we're saying the noyah sukkah, the decorations, which are not intrinsically things that are usher, wreaths of grain are not generally usher, grapes are not, but it's because it becomes part of the sukkah that we say it becomes usher, and yet still the braisa tells us that if you made a condition, it's going to be mutter. So you see that even the sukkah itself, if you do make a condition, even the sukkah of the yom tov of sukkahs, of the mitzvah one, will be mutter. So how does that resonate with the resolution that we gave, that there's a difference between the sukkah of sukkahs, which is usher, and the sukkah of other yom tov? So the Gemara says that's actually not a question. Because Abaye and Rava Darma Tavayu, both Abaye and Rava say that you cannot compare the decorations of the sukkah to the wood of the sukkah itself regarding making these conditionings. Because although you're right, the noyi sukkah, the decoration becomes bottled to the sukkah, and therefore it becomes usher for the 7 days as the sukkah itself, but the reason why the conditions help by the decorations is ba'imer, is where the person says when it's still day, eini ba'idl mehem, I'm not holding back, I'm not letting go of my power that I have and the schus I have in these decorations, which they're mine, from taking them, kol the entire time of the length of Bein HaShemashes, of twilight, of Erev Yom Tov, when it's going into Yom Tov. And therefore, when Yom Tov is beginning, which is the time when the sanctity of the sukkah itself should be acquired on these decorations themselves, as the sukkah happens by Bein HaShemashes too, when Yom Tov starts. Now, since the person is saying that, no, I don't want to totally relinquish my power of authority of the usage of these items, of these decorations, now that's why the sanctity is not acquired onto these items totally, because he's not letting go of them, saying that I'm totally relinquishing them to being part of the sukkah. Now that's why they don't become muktzah, because you're still holding on to it. Avalatze sukkah, but the wood of the sukkah itself, you can't go ahead and make such a condition. Because there, by default, you has to be that you're relinquishing all of it, of using it in the time period of Bein HaShemashes, because you can't use it by Bein HaShemashes, because that would be a prohibition of seiser, of demolishing the tent if you were to use it on Bein HaShemashes, because Bein HaShemashes is already doubtful if it's Yom Tov. And therefore, mitzad the isra of Yom Tov, you can't go ahead and demolish it. And therefore, it's katzor l'shiva. Now that's why it becomes muktzah for all 7 days through this kedusha. That's chal on the wood already. The chal kedusha alayu. And that's why the sanctity is chal on it. And therefore, through this kedusha, it's katzor l'shiva. That's why it becomes muktzah for all 7 days. And therefore, the Gemara has resolved the contradiction by saying, you're right, that the braisa was not going back on the wood of the sukkah itself. There, everyone would agree that it's forbidden. It has intrinsic kedusha of all 7 days. When we said that everyone agrees that the condition helps, it's regarding a regular hut on Pesach HaShavuos. Yet there that we find by decorations that you could make a condition, although it has the same muktzah that it's set aside for the mitzvah, same kedusha as the sukkah itself, but the difference is that actually that's what you're preventing by making the condition, that it shouldn't be like the sukkah itself, saying, I still want to use it by Bein HaShemashes. Hence, even then it's not muktzah by Bein HaShemashes, which qualifies the whole Yom Tov. That's why it's not muktzah. But that's in contradistinction to the case of the walls itself, where Bein HaShemashes you have to relinquish because you can't use it because of muktzah, and that's why, because of the isra of seiser, that's what becomes muktzah then, and therefore becomes muktzah the entire Yom Tov. But now the Gemara asks one more question. Now, umayshna, what is the difference that regarding, let's say, by an esrog, where although by the first Bein HaShemashes, when Yom Tov was starting, that regarding that we said that for, let's say, for the wood of sukkah, where it becomes muktzah for all 7 days, by esrog we don't say that. We say that it's only muktzah for the day that we want to use it for. If we made a condition that we only want to use it for 1 day, why is it any different than the case of sukkah, where even if we say we want to use it only for 1 day and that we want to be able to use the wood afterwards, that we can't, then it automatically becomes muktzah for all 7 days. So why is it different from this, that we learned Hefresh Shiva Esrogim L'Shivas Hayam. If someone designated, he has a lot of Esrogim, says he wants to use another Esrog on every different day of Yom Tov. So Amar Rav, Rav says, we have a Machlaikis. Rav says, Kol Achas V'Achas Yetzibah, so each Esrog, you go ahead and use it on the day that you want to use it. V'Yichel L'Alta, and then you could eat it right away, because he holds that it's Muktzah for its mitzvah. That's why you can't use the Esrog for personal benefit on Yom Tov. Now, once you did the mitzvah, since it's only for today that you had designated using in the mitzvah, so once the mitzvah is done, it's not Muktzah anymore, then you can go ahead and eat it. However, if Asi Amar, he says differently. He says, Kol Achas Yetzibah, you're at each one you go ahead and use on its day, V'Yichel L'Slamach, and then you eat it the following day. Because he holds that since it became Muktzah of Bein HaShmashas of that day, so it becomes Muktzah for that entire day. So even though you already did the mitzvah, but the Muktzah continues till the night. But however, one thing is that we see is that each opinion would hold, it wouldn't be Usr of Muktzah more than that day itself. So the question is, but by the wood of the Sukkah too, since you made a condition before Yom Tov that you want to be able to use it, let's say the next day of Chol HaShamayit after the first day of Sukkahs, where then there's no problem of the Isra of Saisra of demolishing it then. So it should be like if you designated for the first day, where we're saying by Sukkah, where we're saying by the mitzvah of Esther, that it's only going to be Muktzah for that day and not for all 7 days. So why by the wood of the Sukkah, it's not the same thing? Why don't we say that when it became Muktzah by the first Bein HaShmashas, where we agree it's Muktzah, because you can't demolish it then. But it should just be Muktzah for that one day, and the second day of Chol HaShamayit, then you should be able to use it. Why is it Muktzah for all 7 days? How is it any different than the Esrog, which both are Muktzah for their mitzvahs by the Bein HaShmashas period of that day? But if you had designated, you want to use it the following day for yourself, that by Esrog we say yes, and by Sukkah we say no, it's now for all 7 days. So the Gemara says there's a fundamental difference between these two mitzvahs, which would be the reason why one is for all 7 days and one is only for that one day. Because Hasim, there by the mitzvah of Esrog, the mitzvahku leilis miyam, there is an interruption between the nights and the days, because the mitzvah of Esrog doesn't apply by nighttime. And therefore, kol chad v'chad yema mitzvah b'apei nafshu, that comes at every single day, is essentially its own mitzvah. It's not a continuation of the day before, because there's this interruption of nighttime. It's not one big continuity. And that's why you can make a condition and say that although it becomes muktzah for this day, but the next day is a new day, and it doesn't continue the halacha of muktzah for it. There it's mukhan for that. But hacha doli mivsku leilis miyam, but here by the mitzvah of Sukkah, where there's no interruption. Once Sukkah starts, going all the way to the end of the 7 days, there's no interruption of the mitzvah of Sukkah. It applies nighttime and daytime. So kula yayme kechadu yayme rechadami. So it comes out that really all the 7 days of Sukkah, it's just like one long day. Once the mitzvah started, the mitzvah of Sukkah, and the first Bein HaShmashas, it was muktzah. So that muktzah which goes throughout the day, essentially goes throughout this whole 7 days, because then the mitzvah, the huktzah l'mitzvah that it is, continues throughout, which the first Bein HaShmashas already defines that throughout. Whereas the mitzvah of Esrog, although it also applies for the 7 days of Sukkahs, each day is its own mitzvah, and hence the first Bein HaShmashas would only make the first day muktzah, but not the second day, and then therefore one would be able to eat the Esrog on the second day, which is not the case, as we said, regarding the mitzvah of Sukkah.